Each breed, from the smallest to the largest, has its own deva, and these devas take care of their respective animals. When the animals come here, they must go through a kind of health check. It is not only humans who believe that they carry their diseases with them here. Some animals believe they are badly crippled, and they search for lost body parts. Specially trained devas work mentally with these poor animals, who in many cases have been suffering under the instruments of the vivisectionist. How can humans be so cruel as to use animals for experimental purposes? When are humans going to learn to use the healing powers that are available to them? They can also use these powers on animals. The communication between humans and animals has also disappeared. Not between dogs, horses, and cats, and their owners, I protested. There are many examples of good relationships. By the way, I wonder if, for example, a deeply loved dog, who suddenly dies, may be reborn and come back to its former owner. Well, it may vary from case to case. We have animals who refuse to go back to Earth. The animals spread over the map as they like. It is difficult to constantly keep them in their own realm. The pets, especially horses, dogs, and cats, can be tightly bound to their former owners. We often have reunions between human and animal souls. If a human soul who has crossed the border wants to have his or her pet in company, then that is permitted. Sometimes pets appear as ghosts. That is to say, their energies are so strong that they can materialize for a moment. But the animals must also be given the opportunity to develop, and their owners should give them the chance to do so. Maybe a dog is not reincarnated as a dog, a cat not as a cat, and so on. So what happens to them? I wondered curiously. Will they perhaps become humans? I don't think you need to know any more about this realm, Zar said and took my arm again. Your question cannot be answered except on an individual basis. Remember that here, in the realm of animals, love rules between all species of animals. Love permeates all our worlds, because from the very beginning, we were created from it. Before we move on, I wonder if I may ask a question about the gods of the Native Americans? I have heard that different tribes have different names for their gods, but yet they are referring to the same god, aren't they? Their Wampanoag tribe calls the Great Spirit Kyaitan or Kishtanat, and there are lots of other gods beneath him. In North America alone, there were more than 500 Native American tribes. That adds up to an awful lot of different god figures, does not it? The Native Americans are only one example. The whole earth is full of idols. What are you doing about them? That was an easy question, Zar said, smiling. Look at the cosmic map. Outside the no man's world there are, for example, the realms of idols. The gods live there in perfect well-being. If hundreds of tribes in thousands of places on earth give different names to their gods, it is only a question of language. The gods living in the realms of idols each have one original name. The Great Spirit rules them, too. We can call the idols symbols, living their own lives. They are far too numerous to be described in detail. Are you ready for the Children's Realm? The Children's Realm. Swiftly we were carried forward on Jlith's strong wings, as she appeared like a giant bird from the cloud masses above us. We landed in a vast playground. There were swings everywhere, slender swings shining like silver, where children with fluttering hair, rosy cheeks, and happy eyes let the wind help them to fly up towards the sky. Nobody seemed scared. The laughter lurked and peeped at all the small mouths secretly, before it finally broke out. Then it ran about in rattling drum rolls until it choked. Everywhere children's voices were buzzing, and happy screams echoed. There was skipping, playing hopscotch, playing ball and marbles. There was dancing, singing songs, and telling fairy tales. I was standing as if enchanted. If there was a paradise, this is it. Everywhere angels glided around, showing the children the way about with consolation, praise, and encouragement. I have always been fascinated by fairy tales, even if I did not give them much of my time. I willingly admit that I, Jan, was dreaming of writing children's books. But I did not dare to enter into competition with other storytellers after I had established myself as a novelist. Furthermore, I was a bit old-fashioned. I liked knights and dragons, captured princesses, trolls in dark forests, and poor little children wandering barefoot across the meadows, as I once had, dreaming of a substantial meal. Can modern children relate to that? It's delightful here, I groaned and inhaled the scent of a thousand flowers. A bit further ahead was a small lake, full of noise and wild splashing, where children were bathing. The little ones have a good time, Sharla agreed. The children are never brought to the no man's world, they are sent directly to the children's realm. For some time they reside in our gardens for children, and there they retain the same age and appearance as they had at the time of their crossing. This is necessary for their sense of security. They have to be allowed to be children yet a while, happy children who can laugh and play. But most of them have to return to Earth. Before that, they go through a school that is located close by here. They have to choose new parents and they have to understand why they choose so that they voluntarily meet their new future. Poor children, who come to Earth today. I sighed. Some of them become child laborers, others become soldiers already from the age of 8 to 10 in developing countries. Some of them are born to parents who will soon divorce, with all that that entails. I wonder how many of these kids will have a bright and happy life on Earth. There we have the power of thinking again, Sharla explained. If they succeed in bringing the right sort of thinking with them, and if they listen inwardly and act in accordance with that, they will not be unhappy. But if they succumb to the pressure of their surroundings already as small children, things may go wrong. When a child is considered to be ready for the next step, he or she is moved to another part of the children's realm. There, a kind of metamorphosis takes place of which I cannot go into technical details, but the result is a change of age for the child. Well, it's difficult to talk about age in this context, because the concept of age does not exist here. Mostly the soul has undertaken a shorter previous lifetime for karmic reasons. This may have to do with the family or with victims, especially when it comes to group incarnations in developing countries where mass murder and mass exodus take place. But at this moment, we have allowed the children to carry with themselves a great deal of thinking from us in their subconscious minds. You could say that many children are born spiritually developed today. They have been gifted with a spiritual seed, but it needs nourishment in order to grow. Children who die early, especially those who die in terrible circumstances, war, starvation, murder, did they really choose to be born on Earth for a few years in order to experience all those awful things? I wondered, realistically. In most cases, yes, was the answer. Accidents occur, but nothing is coincidental. Death works like this: most humans have a number of posts or stop signals placed on their life path. Thus, it is not predestined from the beginning that you will die at a certain date. There are several different incidents or possibilities to end a life. It is in fact you, that is, your higher self, that decides when it's time. Your higher self sees farther than you. It sees what is moving deepest in your heart and what needs an extension of your life to be able to be developed. You don't know it, but the decision is actually yours. You survive a difficult operation, a car accident, a drowning accident, or something else that challenges death. Why? Because you are not quite finished with the life you have chosen, while others think that a miracle has saved you. Is that also relevant in the case of heart transplants? That depends. In our eyes, such a thing is an unnatural procedure, a play with the divine forces. No matter what the doctors say, a healing of the heart without transplantation could have been just as successful, but you haven't gotten that far yet. Much depends on the strong will of the patient to survive. Some negative impacts might be the result of a transplant, because the patient not only gets a new organ inserted by operation, but also the energies of that organ. But that's another story. But many people who seem to just have started their career on the earthly plane are carried off much too early, I objected, And that goes especially for children. You are using so many wrong expressions, exclaimed Sharla. Korea, for instance. Do you know where that Korea would have taken a person if he'd been allowed to live? Be carried off, how silly. Nobody is carried off, everybody is passing over. In that case, it is the relatives that might give a start when he is carried off. And after that, they snatch material benefits if they can. At worst, their sorrow snatches the deceased so that he has difficulty getting away from the no man's world. You previously talked about accidents. Do they exist? Difficult question. Accidents exist because of humans' negligence, thoughtlessness, or indiscretion, Tsar answered seriously. They are dependent on negative creating by the thought, a kind of landslide in the subconscious mind that leads to carelessness in the conscious mind. Most children who come here are much happier here than in their earthly lives, Sharla eagerly assured me. They get a new chance for a life which certainly will be better, because here they learn to understand so much they did not understand before. They take that knowledge with them in their subconscious mind, and if they listen to their intuition, they will be given a new chance. No child dies without a reason. Coincidence does not exist. The motive of a premature death, which is clearly and voluntarily expressed from here, is of course obscured by the child's surroundings on earth. It is those nearest who mourn and perhaps take the blame for what is happening, but that is part of their karma. You have seen singing, dancing, play, and joy, free and happy children in a world where concepts like bullying or violence are totally unknown. Here a child might get hurt, but they never hurt themselves. They never hit each other and are never hit. Do you understand? Now let's move on. I got to see how children and elementals were playing and had fun together. The nature world and the children's realm are in close contact with each other. Goblins and fairies, which are considered to be made-up fairy tales on Earth, existed here as well. There is a realm called the fairy tale realm in the astral world, and it is also located near the children's realm. There are giants and trolls, and fairy tales, myths, and adventures take place there endlessly. Sometimes the angels must interfere in order to bring order in these wild fairy tales. It happens, Sharla told me with a laugh, that bold kids get to visit the fairy tale realm and experience fantastic adventures. They can never be injured, even if they have a tough time, because as soon as they are afraid, the whole fairy tale dissolves and they return here. If more adults would remain young at heart, they would visit these realms. To be like a child is only an advantage for man. Would you like to stay here for a while, Jan? Thanks for the offer, I quickly answered, but I refrain. I am of a curious nature and would like to continue. All three of us rushed off on the suddenly appearing Jalith. You asked a question before that I haven't answered yet, Tsar yelled in the middle of the ride. You wondered where the spiritual pranksters belong. Many of them inspire and guide psychics over the whole world. They are clever, inventive tricksters from the no man's world who live in assurance that they actually are the persons who they claim to be. Many of the names they call themselves are found both in the Bible and in other sacred or less sacred scriptures. Some of what they say is true and correct, and they are well instructed by forces which don't belong to our worlds. Some of them are pulling their victims' legs, and others have a purpose behind their so-called channeling. That purpose is part of a plan which does not originate from here, either. How can you tell the difference? I wondered. How can you know who's who? How shall a psychic be able to trust his or her own intuition, if there are such forces in circulation? Intuition, my dear friend, is the greatest master. But as we've mentioned before and as you probably already know, there are many inhabited planets in our galaxy, and some of them want to usurp power on Earth. For instance, Orion, which already has been mentioned. A lot of psychic information comes from them. But that's terrible, I exclaimed. Who can trust whom? When you turn to your innermost higher self and ask, you will always get the right answer. I can well believe that I'm doing so, and then the answer is wrong anyway. I objected, a bit annoyed. If you are a human on Earth, you don't have the same resources as you have here. You feel what comes from within and what is right, Tsar assured me. Moreover, you'll notice the result. You must not forget that your ego may have a say in the matter. When the ego inspires, things go wrong. Phew. I moaned. You make me so confused. Not at all, Charlotte interjected gently. Tsar means that when money and power are involved, you have to be on your guard. Knowledge from a channel shall emanate love without any demands for reciprocation. The you have the secret in a nutshell. In that case, there won't be many honest psychics left, I sighed. Poor good old earth that is sown with so many weeds. Dear Jan, Tsar said seriously. It isn't just a matter of beautiful words, but also to turn them into deeds. Anyone can talk about light, but not everyone is light or brings light. The reason for bright, loving words must not be profit. These two polarities displace each other and force on unwanted goals. Let the humans visit different psychics to receive varying information. That is also one way to learn. You have to make mistakes in order to understand what's good or bad. There are many good psychics. I am just warning you of some planets' influence on sensitive humans. Whoops, now we're landing. 9. The Midnight Mass. I haven't seen any churches yet, I remarked, as the angels' wings spread their soft feathers on the ground like a sail. There are no churches in our worlds, Tsar answered. Why would we need churches? We sent down our brother, Jesus Christ Sananda, to tell the humans on earth that all is one. All your different religions divide, instead of unite. The churches are abodes of power for the clergy. Why don't you use the churches for beautiful music and songs, and let humans go into them to pray, without having any authority taking a collection in the name of God? A collection that is not always used positively, by the way. Are you talking about God in the Old Testament? I asked. Of course. You won't see any churches here, unless someone creates a hologram that resembles a church, in that case in the no man's world. But it disappears just as quickly. Holograms are not permanent. We have buildings here where we meet, sing, dance, and send light. But just imagine how charming it would be with a midnight mass. I tried. You will experience a charming midnight mass before we are finished with this journey. Then you'll probably stop talking about churches. Now look around. It looked as if we were on an airfield, but the runways bore no resemblance to those on Earth, even if multicolored lights were blinking everywhere. Charla beckoned me to follow, and so we entered a giant building in shimmering silver, reminiscent of an observatory. In there was a spiral staircase in the middle. When we got up the stairs near the ceiling, we found a landing with a rail that ran around the whole building. The walls were so thin and transparent that you could imagine you were standing under the open sky. The sky was indigo-colored, and the stars were traveling close to us in a way I had never experienced them before. From our elevated position, we saw a gigantic platform. Crafts of the most varied kind were landing on it. Some of them looked like flying saucers, others like zeppelins, and yet others were impossible to compare to something the human eye has seen. We are still in the astral world, Tsar explained, and this is a landing ground for visitors from outer space. There are planets whose inhabitants have the ability to adjust themselves to our frequency without first crossing the boundary of physical death. Is this a realm in the astral world? I wondered. No, Tsar answered, this is nothing more than an airbase. Here are reception buildings for the visitors, where they are guided and taken care of by angels. You mentioned realms, and I must tell you that not far from here is the database for all the worlds, as it would be called in earthly language. It's so huge that it contains every individual that has lived on Earth and that is currently living there. We will not show this database, since it is so enormous and complicated that the uninitiated cannot possibly understand how it works. For example, the you can find information about all the lives one single person has lived since the first time she was born as a human. Without this database, we couldn't show the Akashic records, which are derived from there. This technical area is part of the scientific realm. Thanks, my technical vein is non-existent, I said, smiling, so I think I will refrain from going there. I prefer the realm of beautiful arts. Good, Jan, because that's the next port of call on our journey, Czar told us. Why do you show me this airbase? I asked. Because it is a border area and because we are going out for a little flight, Sharla answered. To be sure, you wanted to experience a midnight mass and we invite you to one, but without a church. Something that looked like a glass ball had landed behind us. In this glass globe was a door, and a stairway was leading up to it. We climbed into the plane and sat down. It pretty much felt like being in a helicopter, but the difference was that everything was made of glass, even the chairs we were sitting on. What I hear called glass was a transparent material which did not feel hard when you touched it. The seats were soft and molded themselves to our bodies. There was no sign of any pilot. Where Czar sat, there was an instrument panel and some levers. You're not frightened, are you? Sharla asked me a bit teasingly. I denied it, of course, for what had I to be frightened of? What was I expecting? Not a church, but a large concert hall, on another planet perhaps. Life after death constantly affords surprises, which suits me well. I remembered when the Gen self was ill with a severe and at that time incurable disease. At first, things felt hopeless, but then my resistance arose as high as the Eiffel Tower. I did not want to be ill and slowly wither and die, just as I had seen happen in so many other farm laborer families, because of the lack of nutrition, damp houses, far too heavy work, and other misery. I remember sitting on a stone in the forest, thinking like mad. I realized I had not been of too much delight to my home or elsewhere, but if I got to live, I would show them. So I made a radical decision there on the stone. I was going to think myself well. Strangely enough, I succeeded. Such thoughts were completely unknown at that time. Maybe I had picked up something out of an old book, I don't really remember. But my whole life changed when I recovered and stubbornly went from publisher to publisher in order to get my books printed. Thought one through in the end, even if it took its time. Outside the glass globe was the indigo blue sky, embroidered with so many shining star sequins that they made my eyes smart. I saw whirling planets and comets, or was it perhaps shooting stars that fizzed by like firedrakes? The glass ball rolled around in the clear atmosphere, and if we had not been fastened in, our light bodies certainly would have been dissolved by the turbulence. Yet this rolling was not unpleasant, because space presented an incredibly captivating drama whichever way we looked, up, down, or sideways. We were surrounded by the cosmos, we were small atoms in the wholeness. If we screamed, our voices would not even be heard as much as the fluttering of a butterfly wing. But we couldn't scream, our lips were sealed. We took in the universe with our eyes, and our bodies collected a hitherto unknown energy that gave us high after high of raised consciousness, on the verge of a primal shock. I felt as if I was about to explode from the inside. All of a sudden it came. Somewhere in the glass ball the hatch opened, so that the sound could flow inside. The midnight mass had started. It was the music of space, the overtones of the spheres, the harmonies of the angels, and the sacred choruses of the seraphim. It was a unification of light and sound that not only was heard in our ears, but invaded our whole bodies and stretched our limbs in naked devotion. We found ourselves in the greatest premises thought can create, outer space. The tones sought us, not vice versa. They flew around our craft, they played in circles parading on top of each other to, with a sound of crisp crystal, be pulled upwards in a spiral with us in its center. Our nerve fibers were seething and cutting. The cascading and singing swept us into a cathedral of sound. It was frighteningly beautiful, but no words can ever cover what we really experienced at this immense moment in the arms of the ether. Czar, Sharla, and I were prostrate in the glass globe, floating in the air. We floated with the tones, and the tones floated into us. There were sounds I had never heard before, streaming over me in cascades as if from a gigantic waterfall. What are all the churches and cathedrals of earth, compared to this? I thought. All I've ever read, all the masters of music and art, all the culture of the whole world, what was all of it worth if you compare it with this sublime moment? Perhaps my eternity is not the same as yours, dear earthlings, but right then it was speaking. Eternity was telling its story. It was singing of its infinity, its unconditional love, and its tremendous beauty. Could the sweetest of all sweet things cause pain? Can pain and happiness be bound together in an emotion so tremendous that what we call death on earth becomes a symphony of joy? And what actually are emotions? I know I have kept my gift to feel after the crossing, but never before had I felt that I am made up only of emotions. The midnight mass was not over. Outside the glass globe, it suddenly started to burn. I sat up with a start and looked out into the cosmos. Our craft was surrounded by flames that did not look like burning fire. This was not a fire of hot, burning flames. This was a fire of colors that formed patterns which were following the rhythm of the tones. It was so inconceivably beautiful that my euphoric emotions left me stunned. I sat bolt upright, absorbing the experience and wishing it would never end. I wanted to remain in this little glass cage in the middle of outer space, long after the midnight mass had faded away, because how would it be possible for me to return to any kind of existence after this? The darkness of mercy made me sleep for a short while. When I awoke, we landed at the airbase and Sharla helped me out of the craft. My whole body was trembling. You will soon get used to our midnight masses, she comforted me, as my tears wetted her hand. I could still cry. You see, she went on in a soft voice, this was the first time you were with us, and there will be many more times. But you have to get in practice for the highest possible happiness, as well as for anything else. This must be the greatest thing to happen to any soul, apart from meeting the Divine Father himself, I panted. Sharla started to laugh as clear as a bell. You don't need to meet him separately, she assured me. He is everywhere and in everything. You have him inside you, and he was the great conductor in the Midnight Symphony. But I thought he was in the middle of the circles of the cosmic map, I stammered. That's where the Great Spirit, the Mother Father, lives, isn't it? Yes, indeed, Sharla tittered. Of course he is there. But he is everywhere as well. Zar joined us. He gripped my shoulders and gave me a friendly pat on the back. He is in your muse, he is in your heart, he is in your eyes and in mine and in Shayla's, he said. The all-seeing eye is part of your own eye, but that part does not always have time to open when you live on Earth. And now I'm back to the subject of your churches. It is the priests who give humans the wrong image of the Father. He is considered to be the highest one. But since he is in all our eyes and in all our hearts, he cannot sit higher up than we do, can he? It's true that he has his existence in the middle of our cosmic map. But from the he radiates a spark to every living cell. Every living thing contains the energies of the Creator. That's the strongest law that exists. And now, Jan, we'll continue our journey. 10. The Realm of Beautiful Arts. The Realm of Beautiful Arts is also a center for creation. From there, energy rays emanate to all art that is created on Earth. I was wondering why some art is so ugly, so base and repulsive, but yet it's called art. Has it really been created here? The energies that inspire artists all over the Earth are sent out from here, Zar answered. But in order to reach the artist in the form of inspiration, the aura must be penetrated. The inspiration can only reach the artist via the aura. If the aura is sick or influenced by evil, drugs, or negative thinking, the inspiration is transformed when it is about to be realized through the artist's interpretation of images. Accordingly, not all art on earth becomes heavenly or celestial. Now take a look at the source of inspiration for your own work. Please turn around, Jan. I did. To my amazement, I discovered the farm laborer's cottage where I grew up, the cattle I tended, the field sweep plowed, the church where all we children were baptized, and the meadows, the forest, and the lakes all around there.